And welcome everybody to the Pod's Honest Truth with David Brody. Hope you're well. Today on the podcast, we've got Diamond and Silk. They've been on before, but boy, we've got them again, this time on my new show, The Water Cooler, that is on Real America's Voice, Pluto Network, Pluto TV Network, Amazon, Fire, Roku, Apple TV, the whole nine yards, Dish Network. Did I already say Dish Network? Can't remember. It's been a long day. But the bottom line is Diamond and Silk will be on to talk about the vice presidential debate last night, along with the African-American vote and who they call Jim Crow Joe, which I asked them to explain why do they call Joe Biden Jim Crow Joe. So that will be on the podcast today. Also, Jeff Mason from Reuters. He's the White House correspondent there. He'll talk about covering Trump. How do you do that? And I'll also get into more about the vice presidential debate, what we saw in Salt Lake City, plus what we will or will not see coming up in the next presidential debate, because, of course, we know that the president of the United States says, I'm not doing any virtual debate. That's what they want, a second debate with Joe Biden, and it should be, they want it to be virtual. And Trump is like, No, I'm not having any of that. So Jeff Mason will weigh in on all of that. All of it coming up on the Pod's Honest Truth.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome back to the Pod's Honest Truth with David Brody. Time now for our interview with Diamond and Silk. You know them very well. They're big Trump supporters. They were on the Water Cooler show today to talk about the vice presidential debate that went down between Kamala Harris and Vice President Mike Pence. As you might imagine, they have quite a bit to say about that and the African-American vote and whether or not Donald Trump can do better this time around than in 2016. Here are Diamond and Silk. Ladies, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Well, tell me, what'd you think of last night's debate, first of all? Let's talk about that.
Listen, I think that Kamala Harris went on that stage expecting to be a prosecutor, and Vice President Pence, you know, he chewed her up and spit her out like a Tic Tac.
She had
to pick her own face up off the floor. So he did a phenomenal job in the debates, and I think he won hands down.
That's right.
What about the race issue? That came up quite a bit. I mean, I thought it was interesting that Mike Pence came back at her and talked about her role as a prosecutor. That was a pretty telling moment.
Absolutely. You know, anytime the left is losing, Kamala is losing, what they tend to do is bring up the race card. Mm-hmm. So I think that Vice President Pence handled himself very well. And look at Kamala's record. You know, she locked up a lot of men, a lot of minorities for doing the same thing she was doing, smoking weed.
That's
so
right.
I was happy that he brought her, you know, brought out her record on how she was as a prosecutor. And the things that she used to do back in the day.
And you got to also remember that's part of the Democrat tactic. One thing is to play the race card, but the race card is now in decline. People are tired of hearing it. People are tired of listening to it. Right now, they're ready to play the Trump card so they can win, win, and win.
Yes.
And we're going to get to the race card, if you will, in a moment, ladies. I want to ask you a little bit about the news breaking today about this virtual debate. Apparently, the Commission of Presidential on Presidential Debates wants this or says they're going to have a virtual debate. And Donald Trump's like, I'm not having any of that. That puts Joe Biden back in the basement in Delaware. What do you take of it? What's your make of it?
I agree with the president. It puts Joe Biden back in the basement, safe and sound behind a mask. Absolutely not. Let me tell you something. Last night they had plexiglass.
Uh-huh.
Well, then put, if you are that afraid of President Donald J. Trump, then put him in his own little box. But I think they should debate live on stage how we normally see it and not virtual.
That's
right. So I'm on the president's side with this.
And when you have a person like Jim Crow Joe running from a virus he can't see and hiding from one that's invisible, what is he scared of? How is he going to be able to face this country head on or foreign countries head on if he's hiding in the basement? If he can't stand toe-to-toe and go against our president, President Donald J. Trump, he don't need to be running for president.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about the African-American turnout, the black community turnout in 2020. What do you expect? What did he do in 2016? Didn't he do like 8%, I think? But you expect that number to be obviously higher. How much higher can he go, do you think?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. Back in 2016, the candidate Donald Trump asked Black America, what the hell do you have to lose? Mm-hmm. You know, right. If we don't vote for him this time, we're going to have a hell of a lot to lose. So it's imperative that everyone get out and vote for him, particularly Black America,
because he's
the one that's done something for Black people.
Yes.
If you look at President Donald J. Trump's record and compare that to Jim Crow Joe been in government for 47 years and haven't done not one thing for Black America.
That's right.
But he did push a crime bill to decimate Black families. He did stand on the Senate floor and refer to Black people using the N-word and predators. So you need to look at what's going on. You need to look into these people's records. Now, President Donald J. Trump has a record.
Yes.
Black unemployment at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. Home ownership an all-time high. He's given more money to HBCUs than any other president in history.
That's right.
Opportunity zones. First step at giving people a second chance.
Yes.
And now he has the platinum plan. So I'm telling you, you all, if you are on the fence, it's time for you to jump off the fence, walk through the gate, get on the Trump train, and make sure you vote for Donald J. Trump. I think you're going to see a percentage very, very high,
yeah.
Unlike any other Republican that has ever run for president.
Especially, don't get hoodwinked about Kamala Harris talking about Jim Crow Joe or Joe Biden has a plan. He's been having a plan for 47 years. He's like the mechanic working on a car, a vehicle, for 47 years, and he's begging for 4 more years to fix the issue. If he couldn't do it in half a century, how is he going to do it in 4 years?
And if Jim Crow Joe Biden had a plan, why didn't he tell Obama about the plan?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say, so I think I've heard it quite a few times, and we've talked before, you call him Jim Crow Joe, and of course, I'm wondering, what when you say that, what are you trying, what's the message you're exactly trying to either say or imply? Because I don't want people to take it a certain way. I want you to explain exactly what you mean when you use it like that.
Thank you for asking.
When I call him Jim Crow Joe,
yes.
What I mean is that every word almost that comes out of his mouth, he echoes the sentiments of bigotry and of racism.
Yes.
He represents racism. Now, the media won't call him out on that, but Diamond and Silk will.
That's
when
right.
We look at his past, how he wrote a crime bill decimating the Black family,
mm-hmm.
How he stood hand in hand with a former KKK member, how he reached across the aisle to a segregationist.
That's right.
How he said the other night, he is the Democrat Party, which is the party that didn't want slavery to end.
That's
the
right.
Party of KKK, the party of Jim Crow, the party of segregation. That's who he represents.
Yep.
So when I call him Jim Crow Joe, a vote for Joe is a vote back to the Jim Crow days.
That's right.
Ladies, I've got about 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds or so. So give me your sense about this election coming up. I know you believe the president's going to win, obviously, and you both are optimistic and you're very vocal. But is there any reservation? What is the concern that you might have at all about this election coming up? Because poll after poll shows that Biden's got this double-digit lead nationally. And I know the polls can be skewed and all that, but you know, then the president comes down with coronavirus and Kayleigh McEnany's got coronavirus, and it just seems like the forces are kind of coming against this president. Are you have any concern at all that things might not be going so well for 2020?
I think things are coming together.
Yes.
We now have therapeutic medicines that treat this virus that has a 99% recovery rate.
Mm-hmm.
Let us not get that twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Also understand that we are going to be okay. My only concern is what these Democrats are trying to do when it comes to mail-in ballots. And this is what I want to tell everybody. Treat your vote as if it was $1 million. If you had $1 million lottery ticket, will you mail it in or will you take it in?
That's
Go
right.
to the polls
yep.
and vote. Vote right, vote red, and vote for President Donald J. Trump.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
That was Diamond and Silk here on the Pods Honest Truth. Time now for another guest we had on the Water Cooler Show today, Jeff Mason, the White House correspondent from the Reuters news agency. I've known Jeff for a long time, straight shooter, good guy, and breaks down the vice presidential debate and also what we might expect going forward regarding the second presidential debate. Will it be virtual or not? At this point, it's going to be virtual, and the president says he's not showing up for that. So Jeff Mason has some thoughts on that, not to mention the fact that he has covered Donald Trump for the last 4 years from the White House briefing room, and he gives us his thoughts as well on that. Here's Jeff.
Jeff, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Good to be with you, David.
The vice presidential debate last night, give us some of your thoughts and some of the reporting that you and Reuters and others are doing out there, and what's kind of the, if not analysis, more from the reporting standpoint as to how this kind of went down in Salt Lake.
Well, it was a fascinating debate, which I think everybody expected it to be. The start was pretty strong, I think, on the side of Senator Harris in terms of basically putting Vice President Pence on the defensive about the administration's response to COVID. But Vice President Pence was also very steady throughout the whole debate. So I'm reluctant to ever call a winner or a loser, but in this case, I think it was probably a draw. They were pretty equally matched, and there were no major fireworks, but both really held their own.
You know, everybody always likes to look for a moment in the debate or a viral moment or something along those lines. I just thought that the packing of the court question by the vice president when he tried to put Kamala Harris on the spot, and she just didn't have an answer. And I understand. I mean, it is it's a hypothetical. I get it, but the fact that she's not answering and Joe Biden wouldn't answer, I mean, you wonder electorally and in 2020, especially as it relates to the Rust Belt, how this may play, because the Biden-Harris campaign seems to have to do a tap dance here to not kind of tick off either side, conservative Democrats or the radical left or the liberal left.
Well, what was interesting to me about that moment where there were two pieces to that. One, you're absolutely right. Senator Harris did not answer that question. She found a way to sort of turn it around, with which Vice President Biden did the same. But it came, that question, and the point where Vice President Pence really kind of called her on that, right after he had also done the same with regard to a question about a healthcare plan. And he didn't answer the moderator's question about how the president would guarantee people with pre-existing conditions would continue to have healthcare at the same time that his administration is trying to end the Affordable Care Act in court. So both of them, both candidates, dodged major questions that are important, particularly to their respective bases, and did so pretty artfully. But the only one who called the other person on it was Mike Pence on Kamala Harris. It was interesting to me that she didn't call him on basically the same maneuver with regard to the question about the ACA.
Jeff, you've been watching debates for a very long time. I've obviously watched a few or two in my career. I thought what was interesting, what Vice President Pence did last night, it was subtle, but it was actually pretty effective. I thought, I was curious to get your take on the coronavirus. We saw Mike Pence say that the American people, he always talked about the American people are doing great things in this comeback, that we're all fighting this together. So he was able to kind of blunt some of the Trump criticism by saying, I'm with the American people. And that seemed to put Kamala Harris in a position where she couldn't go further in some of her attacks because the vice president was saying, are you not pulling for the American people to come through this? I thought it was actually pretty depth on his part.
He was prepared. He was absolutely prepared for the attack he came with, and that was his response. I mean, they kind of clearly on a topic as important and as resonating as the pandemic right now, I think they probably could have easily gone past 9 minutes on that, and that moment sort of came towards the end there. I would have been curious to keep watching that conversation, but Susan Page had a mandate to move forward as the moderator, and that's what she did.
Yeah, moderator is always in such a tough spot. I thought she did a pretty good job, actually, last night. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying it's a lose-lose position to be moderator in these things, I think.
100%. Let me ask you about some of the news we're getting out today about the next presidential debate. As you know, the news is out there that this is going to be a virtual debate and that the president says, I'm not showing up to any sort of virtual debate. What are the political potential ramifications here? I know the campaign now coming out with a statement saying we want to push it all back a week, do October 22nd and 29th. What's your sense?
Yeah, and the Biden campaign now saying that too, initially saying that a virtual, my understanding is that they initially accepted a virtual debate and then said, no, let's wait until the president is able to do this debate in person. Although, of course, President Trump and the Trump campaign were saying that he'd be able to do it next week. So I think in general, both campaigns would like them to meet in person. It is not unprecedented for there to be virtual debates, that is to say, having candidates appearing from different locations in the country and having them filmed in different spots. But it is certainly easier to be on the stage together and show that sort of dichotomy or that difference between the two candidates, and clearly both men would prefer that.
Jeff, this is probably more of a question for the Commission on Presidential Debates, but I am curious, just as kind of a political observer, they're making it a virtual debate almost a week before the actual debate. I mean, we at this point, the president still has COVID-19, but in 4, 5, 6 days, he could test negative twice within a 24-hour span between the two negative tests and be A-OK. So I'm just wondering why they're making that call a week ahead of time. I know you have to plan things out, but at the same time, it seemed to be a little bit premature at this point. Am I reading that wrong?
Well, I haven't spoken to anyone at the commission, so I don't have my own reporting on that. But what I read is that there were people like technicians and others who would have been in the room who were concerned. And the truth is, the president has been around other people, and there would be other people who would be traveling with him to that debate.
Right.
And if he is by then clear of the virus, and we all hope he will be, it's hard to guarantee that others around him might not still be have been exposed and or contagious.
Jeff, I got about a minute left, a little less. Covering this president, it's been, he loves to just go back and forth with reporters. He's called you out a couple of times. You've given it, when I say you've given it right back to him, you haven't backed down for sure. How do you cover this president? What's some of the art, if you will, not of the deal, but of covering this president?
I think, my attitude is we cover this president hopefully the way we would anyone. Our job as reporters is to seek the truth. It's to ask hard questions. It's to tell the story as accurately as possible. There are certainly challenges related to covering President Trump that I haven't experienced with other presidents, but every president has his or her own challenges. And but it would be sugarcoating it to say that there haven't been a bunch with President Trump. There certainly have.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
A big thanks to Jeff Mason here on the Pod's Honest Truth for joining me earlier today on the Water Cooler Show. Once again, the Water Cooler every day, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern on Real America's Voice. You can catch it on Dish Network, along with Pluto Television, Apple Television, or they call it Apple TV, Roku, etc., etc. Check your local listings. Let me just say a quick couple things about the vice presidential debate. Look, Mike Pence, I've been covering him a long time, 15 plus years. That was the best debate he's ever had. I mean, he's a good debater, but he really brought it. He was very focused last night. And what he did, and I thought was very interesting, is that he was able to take the coronavirus situation, which, of course, he got hit on from Kamala Harris, really, delivered some blows. But here's the difference. Mike Pence was able to say, look, the American people are bringing us back to a full recovery here eventually. And then I'm rooting for the American people. So we kind of did it that way. And it was hard for Kamala Harris to really attack him much more than she did, because he was able to blunt it by kind of enveloping, or what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a, you know, putting it all together with the American people and really being able to deliver the message that way. And I thought it was pretty effective. All right, we'll see you tomorrow on the Pods on the Truth.